Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you. I'm going to get this brand new week off and rolling. Crazy weekend for the national sports. Andrew Luck announcing his retirement kind of stole the show. I don't think anyone saw this coming. I was actually watching the Rams and Broncos, and I think my reaction was the same as everyone else. I was blown away. I'm a big Andrew Luck guy. I have been for a long time. I thought coming out of college, you go back to the year that he was drafted over RG3, it was a no-brainer. He was the can't-miss prospect of the draft, and since his second year in the league, Andrew Luck, in my mind, has been a top-five quarterback in the NFL. And I don't think he's ever gotten the credit that he deserved with the Indianapolis Colts, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that the AFC was dominated by Tom Brady. The Broncos were really good, won a Super Bowl, went to two Super Bowls under Peyton Manning. And he was going up against elite competition, and I don't ever feel that the supporting cast around him was elite. But when you look at what Luck accomplished in Indianapolis, this guy was well on his way to being a Hall of Famer. 4,761 passing yards in 2014. That's a Colts franchise record. Beats Peyton Manning's highest single season total of 4,700 from his 2010 season. That's saying something because, again, I felt that Peyton Manning had much more talent around him. In six seasons, Luck ranks in the top five in NFL history in passing touchdowns and passing yards for a player's first 6 years in the NFL. Dan Marino threw 196 touchdowns, Andrew Luck 171. That's four more than Peyton Manning, 10 more than Russell Wilson. Most passing yards in his first six seasons, 23,671. That's third only to Dan Marino and Peyton Manning. That's more than Matt Ryan, who's a surefire Hall of Famer in my mind. And here's the aspect of Andrew Luck's game that never got talked about. While he could throw the football, he could definitely get it done with his legs as well. 14 career rushing touchdowns. He was pretty fast, too. He could scoot. 1,500 career rushing yards, 14 rushing touchdowns ties him sixth most among all quarterbacks since 2012. Again, this guy to me was a unique talent. And for those who criticize Andrew Luck for walking away from the game, first off, Colt fans, well, they should be ashamed of themselves for booing this guy as he's walking off the field following the announcement of the retirement. I couldn't believe that. And I also know that it became popular on social media for people to kind of blast Andrew Luck, saying that he wasn't Stanford tough. I heard that term being used. Doesn't fit the mold. He quit. If you're unaware of it, here's the injuries that we know of that Andrew Luck endured in the last 6 years. Torn cartilage in two ribs, partially torn abdomen, a lacerated kidney, one concussion, a torn labrum in his throwing shoulder, a leg and calf injury this past offseason. Seriously, leave this guy alone. I don't believe the Indianapolis Colts front office ever did an adequate job of surrounding him with the necessary protection up front until last season when they improved that offensive line and he wasn't sacked for like the first 10 weeks. But by that point in time, the injuries I just listed, he had already sustained those. He was already a beaten man. So at the age of 29, I understand Andrew Luck saying, "I'm done." I can't even comprehend the emotional toll those injuries that I just mentioned would take on a person. And again, those are the injuries that we know of. We know for a fact that teams aren't always honest when it comes to the injury report. And we also know that these guys, they train, they work out year-round. Those were the notable injuries over the past 6 years. I can't blame Andrew Luck one bit for walking away. And Frank Reich, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, addressed the media today, made it perfectly clear that A, this team was not let down by Andrew Luck, and B, they have a very capable quarterback in Jacoby Brissett.
When Andrew spoke to us the other day, he spoke of how the cycle of injury and pain and rehab, injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab over 4 years had taken its toll. It had essentially sucked the passion, the joy, the fun out of football. And so Andrew did the right thing. He did the right thing for himself, and he did the right thing for the team. This team is not done climbing. In fact, we're just getting ready. We're just getting started, and we can't wait. Just feel like Chris and his staff have done an unbelievable job of assembling a team of players. That this locker room is special. There is a character quality and a passion for this game and for this city and what the horseshoe represents that is special. We believe that our players will rise to that challenge and that occasion.
I believe that Brissett is going to be just fine. I think the Colts have a guy that can get them to the postseason. I was impressed enough with Jacoby Brissett the last time we got to see him when Andrew Luck missed significant time. Brissett also addressed the media today, and he said he was hurt by the Indianapolis Colt crowd booing Andrew Luck. And again, it was a shame. It was a disappointment. Here's Brissett's take on that.
You know, I just wish he could have done it his way. So that sucked as a teammate to see that and feel the reaction that we got from the fans for him. You know, that hurt more than anything.
Again, I thought that was nice that Brissett went to the defense of his former teammate Andrew Luck. I cannot believe Colt fans booed this guy as he was walking off the field. That's a complete and utter joke. Well on his way to the Hall of Fame, and he played another 4 years. I don't think he gets in now. I don't think he can get into the Hall of Fame without a Super Bowl appearance when you only play 7 years. I don't think that's going to happen. But Andrew Luck was very, very good. He was a can't-miss prospect coming out of Stanford, and he gave the Colts 7-6 really good seasons. So kudos to Andrew Luck walking away on a career that will always play back the what could have been. And later on in the week, we'll talk about the NFL players that have walked away before the age of 30. But Andrew Luck now fits that bill, unfortunately. Let's move over to Major League Baseball. We do have a game going on right now. The streaking Atlanta Braves, who have just been unreal over the last couple of weeks, tied right now with the Colorado Rockies as we go into the ninth inning. This game right now in Coors Field. It's the lone day baseball game, and it's a makeup for both these teams. The Braves will take on the Toronto Blue Jays and the Chicago White Sox in a couple of interleague series coming up later on in the week. St. Louis will travel on the road to meet Milwaukee tonight. The Cardinals have taken control of the Central Division, now 2.5 up on the Chicago Cubs. They have an opportunity to bury the Milwaukee Brewers with the beginning of this series today. Pittsburgh will travel to take on Philadelphia. Plus, we get Cincinnati at Miami. Start time for that game is set for 5:10. Oakland will travel to meet Kansas City at 6:15 in the 7 o'clock hour. An NL West showdown as the Diamondbacks take on the San Francisco Giants. We get the Yankees and the Mariners at 8 o'clock. And then tonight, Dodgers-Padres at 8:10. The Dodgers will send rookie Dustin May out on the mound. LA falling 2 out of 3 to the Yankees in a highly important, or highly intriguing, I should say, interleague series over the weekend. It is Monday, so we will talk more Major League Baseball. Bill Lasky, who is a regular guest on the show every Monday, in fact, we jump around the bigs. Looking forward to Bill taking out the time to join us. That's coming up in just a bit here on the show. As far as the local sports front goes, we're going to be joined by Carbon High School golf coach Brett Johnson. The Dinos suffered their first loss of the season last week, still well in control of Region 12. I believe it's a 38-stroke lead. You can get the complete recap from last week's meet at CastleCountryRadio.com. He's going to join us next segment. We'll talk about what went wrong for the team, and we'll also look ahead to this week's meet. That's at Coview. That'll be on Wednesday, so that's coming up on the local sports front. Plus, we'll give you a recap of everything that went down over the weekend. All that and more coming up on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. It's right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
what you're listening to.
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're going to talk high school golf on the Coach's Corner today here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Last week, the Carbon High School golf team suffered their first Region 12 setback in quite some time. It's been 3 or 4 years since the last time Carbon has not won a region meet. The good news is still well in control in the Region 12 standings. And joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that, we have head coach Brett Johnson. And coach, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan, for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. I talked about the setback this past week. Nonetheless, it's a difficult course. You guys traveled to Millsite, the home course of the Emory Spartans, and I had texted you, Coach, midway through the day, and you said it was really beating up on everyone. I mean, you take a look at some of the scores. Everybody kind of took a step back, it seems like, last week at Millsite.
Yeah, definitely. It's a tough track. I mean, you can hit a really good shot and suffer because getting a bad bounce here and there or, you know, end up in a hazard. But for the most part, the golf course was in pretty decent shape, the best it's been in for the last couple of years. I've played it a couple times, and, you know, it's getting a lot better.
Let's talk about some of the individual performances, Coach, some of the kids that really put together solid meets. We can start by Bodie Salas, and I know it's really no surprise because Bodie seems to be getting better and better each week. Once again, he led the way for the golf squad. Bodie finishes with a 75. That put him in a second-place tie overall for the entire meet. Kind of assess the way Bodie performed at Millsite.
Yeah, he's never played there before, which really impresses me, just because there's a lot of shots that you don't know where to hit them, kind of blind shots. But for the most part, I mean, he was 5 over after 9 holes and then shot even par after that. So I was really pleased with the way he played.
Outside of that, a solid performance from Nick Olson as well. He was 2nd on the team. He shot a 78. Nick is familiar with this course, right?
Yes, Nick's played it a couple times now, I believe. So, and Nick, he keeps the ball in play and finds ways to make pars and, you know, a birdie here and there, or, you know, doesn't really take too many high numbers. So I was happy with the way Nick played.
We have Brady Gagan. He shoots an 84. I know that's a little bit over what we would expect from Brady. A couple of weeks ago, Coach, every kid on this team shot less than an 80. Where did Brady struggle at Millsite?
Just like everybody, hitting balls and hazards. And the greens are definitely a lot different just because they're a little bit, not a little bit, they're a lot slower than normal greens. And so just adjusting to that is really difficult. And then it puts you in a position, especially if you hit it in the hazard, to try and get up and down. And then when you start trying a little extra harder, then, you know, relying on what you know can create some troubles for you. Also can create some high numbers. And I think pretty much almost everybody on the golf team and everybody else's team saw a few high numbers on their scorecard.
Yeah, we did see a couple of high ones from Caden Slavinsky as well. It's been very good for you guys throughout the year, and he comes in with a 90. And really, Coach, you probably live with Brady shooting at 84, but you compound that with Caden shooting a 90, and that's where you kind of drop in the standings as far as the team leaderboard goes.
Yeah, for sure. And I know Caden. He just got a little frustrated. I lost a few balls, and you know, I've played Millsite plenty of times. I've really got frustrated over there because, you know, you can hit a really good shot and then all of a sudden your ball goes into the hazard and you're like, what the heck? I just hit a great shot. And I didn't really deserve that to happen to me, but hey, it's golf. We learn from it. And I think it's going to help us later on in this run for state. I think being able to learn from our mistakes and realize, hey, you know, maybe everybody else is out here struggling. I'm going to grind a little bit harder and, you know, maybe push out a 85 or a low 80 to help out the team.
You and I had a conversation off the air, Coach, and you had mentioned that maybe it's not a bad thing for this team to actually suffer a loss. Again, you guys are still 38 strokes up on Grand as we head into to this week's meet. So in the same token, I mean, for this team to experience a little bit of adversity, it's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
Definitely not, because, I mean, the last couple of years we placed top five in state, and the only time we've actually lost a tournament was in state. And so that's where the pressure really builds. And so I think losing a match is going to put maybe a little bit more pressure on them and make them think, well, maybe we should try a little bit harder at every single meet. Kind of brings you back into the state tournament kind of mindset every week.
Yeah, there's no doubt that this region is better, Coach, than what we've seen over the last few years. I mean, Grand and Richfield are both very capable, and Richfield shoots 323, and Grand goes with a 317 last week. I'm a firm believer that great competition makes you better, and there's no doubt that this is the toughest region or a tougher region than what Carbon has seen over the last 4 years.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the first couple region matches, we kind of really came out of the shoot, you know, just playing really good golf. And so I think we kind of just assumed that we were a lot better than the other teams. But now since we've gotten a couple matches in, you know, we've struggled a little bit here and there. And those other teams are right there with us. I mean, there's only 39-shot lead. That's not too far to fetch for the other teams. So we need to buckle down this next week in Richfield and take control of the region again.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Brett Johnson of the Carbon Dino Golf Squad. Coach, let's talk about the meet this week in Richfield. It'll be on Wednesday at Coveview, home site of the South Sevier Rams, but this is a very familiar course, right, for a lot of players on this team. They played it multiple times.
Yes, definitely. The nice thing about this golf course is everything's pretty much out in front of you. It's a fairly flat golf course. There's nothing really to be worried about. I mean, there's a few little water hazards here and there, but for the most part, it's pretty straightforward. And I expect us to shoot a really good team score this week.
I know that it was kind of a late meet last week. The schedule has been a little bit different. You guys played a Tuesday meet the week before and then a Thursday meet this last week. What's it been like since, Coach? What did you guys do on Friday? Did you guys have anything in the works?
We actually took the day off on Friday just because it was the last weekend before school started. I wanted them to kind of relax and kind of get their mindsets off of it. And I think it's going to pay off because I know a lot of them were playing a lot of golf coming up during the summertime. And, you know, sometimes it's good to just not play golf for a little bit. I'm a firm believer in that. But there is times where you need to buckle down and work on your game hard. And, you know, we're starting that today and also tomorrow before.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned the first weekend of school, and golf is so unique in the sense you guys started playing July 31st was the first meet. How much different does it become for you as a coach now that the kids have to go to school all day? I mean, that's a dynamic change, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, instead of coming out on the golf course and playing a lot of golf during the day, I only get them from 3:40 till 5:40 in a day. And then by then it's getting dark, so there's not a whole lot extra time that I get with them now that school started. But for the most part, we all know what we expect from every single individual on our team. So
we can end with this, Coach. There's about a good month left in the season, and that is it before we move into the state championship meet as we approach the end of August. Are you happy with where the boys are at right now, where the team is sitting?
I am, yes. I think these last three matches that we have us set up perfect. You know, the last home match is going to be at Carbon. I think that's going to be perfect for us to get a little confidence builder right before we go into the last region. our last region match, and then off to state from there.
Well, Coach, it is always fun to get you on the show and talk about the team and, of course, the boys who continue to just really shine. I mean, it's been a pleasure to watch these boys over the last couple of years. You guys continue to do great things. So thank you again, Coach, for the time today, and hopefully we can catch up again next week.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Again, Coach Brett Johnson of the Carbon High School golf team taking out the time to recap last week and preview what lies ahead this Wednesday. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time sports coming up. When we return, we'll move to the national side. We'll talk Major League Baseball. Big series over the weekend. The Yankees take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, and now the Braves have closed the gap. They are within 6 games of the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. Plus, the Yankees, they continue to battle it out with the Astros, and the wild card picture getting a little bit more clear, including the Cardinals taking over in the Central. That's coming up when we return right here on Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Feeling like a bullet,
jumping at a gun. It's time for Monday Baseball Talk here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM live from the Auto Farm Studios. And there's so much to talk about after a very entertaining weekend. We had a showdown between the Dodgers and the Yankees, the best in the AL, getting 2 out of 3 from the best of the NL. We'll talk about that and more with our next guest, former big league pitcher and now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants and the Sacramento River Cats. We have Bill Lasky joining us over the phone right now. Bill, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head about this week. There's been some teams that really got hot. And you look at the Atlanta Braves and the Washington Nationals, just kind of pulled away. A is in Atlanta in their division, and B is Washington, a 4-game lead and in the wild card position. So looking at what's left in the National League, there looks like only one spot in that wild card position, and there's 5-6 teams still involved.
Yeah, that 67-win mark for a lot of teams. I mean, the Cubs right now would hold it at 69 and 61, but you have Milwaukee at 67 and 63. Philly has 67 wins. The Mets have 67 wins. That's a good place to start, Bill, because the Mets seem like they were on cruise control. They were really doing whatever they wanted to do, and then they lose 3 games over the weekend. Those were 3 big losses at that.
I thought so, too. And, you know, the Giants went into Chicago and got swept. And 3 real good games against the Cubs. But at the same time, then Washington goes in and sweeps the Cubs in a 3-game series. And I thought those games were really played well. And when you look at the Nationals, I never thought the Nationals had enough in them. But sure enough, they sure did a job in Chicago this past weekend.
And they really did. And one of the teams that they have pulled away from, it's Philadelphia as well as New York. I mean, the Phillies at 67 and 62. I know Aaron Nola's been great, but he had a rough outing over the weekend. And so as the National League becomes a little bit more clear, Bill, are you willing to put Washington in the same category as the Braves, or do you still think Atlanta is a better team?
I think Atlanta's offense is just gelling right now. And, you know, you saw them in New York, and they took care of the Mets. And I really thought the Mets had a good mark coming into the second half with their starting rotation, but their bats kind of slowed down. And I just think Washington's got a hold on that wild card position right now with a 4-game lead. That's pretty good. But at the same time, you still got 5 weeks of baseball left, and you and I both know things change so quickly. As we talk every Monday, it seems like different teams are getting hot and some teams aren't.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I want to talk about the team out of the National League West, the Dodgers. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. And that was a series that's just good for baseball, especially when you're talking about the best from one league and the best from another. We already have the marketing, you know, the marketing that's built around the Dodgers and Yankees. But, Bill, when they are this good playing each other this late in the season, it's great for the game.
I believe so, too. And the only thing that I didn't like about the weekend was the players' weekend uniforms, the
horrible
black and white uniforms. I just was not sold on. I like the nickname idea, but when you saw the Yankees wearing all black and the Dodgers wearing all white, it just didn't come to fashion too well.
No, no, it definitely didn't. I made the joke on one of my friend's shows earlier today. Where was Chris Sale with the scissors when you needed him? Because, I mean, really, those uniforms were, they were terrible. And it kind of takes away from the tradition of the game. And I feel for the fans, because you can't see names or numbers on those jerseys.
And you know, we talk about the nicknames. I like the nickname aspect, but I wish, you know, analysts or color commentaries or play-by-play would explain what the nicknames mean. You know, we had a couple of them that just didn't make sense. And I think the players need to expand on that and say, why did I pick this nickname? And some names were pretty easy. Yastrzemski was Yaz out here, and a couple of them was pretty simple. But other ones, you're just kind of shaking your head on, scratching your head and going, well, I don't understand it. But I like the nickname idea. I like the players' weekend. I just was not sold on the black and white uniforms.
Well, let me ask you, the Dodgers-Yankees series, is it more worrisome for the Dodgers or more of a positive for the Yankees? How did you take it? What's the story coming out of that series, knowing that New York took 2 out of 3, and, Bill, they were in position to actually earn a clean sweep?
They sure were, and before that, they came into Oakland, got swept by the A's here, and the A's played really phenomenal baseball. Up until when the Giants took the last two games and took the Bay Bridge series. But I was wondering if the Yankees had anything left in them, because they just didn't play well at all in Oakland. And sure enough, they got in L.A. in front of the spotlight and won 2 out of 3. I'm sure the Dodgers are shaking their head a little bit because, you know, they beat Ryu, and they beat him up pretty hard. And a couple other things happened in that series, some good hitting from both sides. But Aaron Judge yesterday hitting a home run, I do believe his 99th home run of his career. And if you start getting that offense rolling as they did in L.A., I think the Yankees are definitely some team that the National League is going to have to encounter with.
Yeah, Aaron Judge hits a home run in all three games over the weekend. This is still my big takeaway, though, Bill, from the series. The Yankees have not won, I think they've won one game since June, where they've scored 2 runs or less. One time since June, I believe, is what the statistic is. They did not win Game 2 because they did not. I mean, there was one long ball. That was it. It was a solo shot from Judge. They couldn't manufacture any runs. That's still something I'm a little concerned with the Yankees. And on the flip side for the Dodgers, maybe the same exact, you know, maybe the exact same worrisome issue here. They did not manufacture any runs. And I know you don't really want to take too much away from one series, but when I look at Atlanta, when I look at what's happening right now with the Astros, those are teams, the Twins, those are teams that can manufacture runs. The Dodgers or the Yankees, I think that may be the Achilles heel for both offenses.
Yeah, I agree with you right there. I just wonder if the offense of the Dodgers is still going to manufacture what they did the first half and how they just escalated home run after home run. Bellinger was kind of held in the tack the last 3 games, and you know, you look at the Dodgers and you look, you know, 20 games in front of the Giants in second place and just blown it away. But, you know, you got 5 weeks left and you got to still keep that ammunition going in that offense. And I just don't think, you know, playing meaningless games and you're starting to, you know, put guys in, the rest guys, and you got to have some kind of momentum walking into October baseball.
I agree with that as well. Again, Bill Lasky, our guest right now, former Major League Baseball pitcher, and now spends his time as an analyst with the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk more about Bill's work in just a moment. Bill, let's talk about the Indians. It's a team that you and I have spent quite a bit of time talking about over the last, I don't know, month and a half. But they were hit with the injury bug over the weekend. Jose Ramirez is pretty much done for the entire season. Now, again, Francisco Lindor has been great. Carlos Santana has been great. But this is really going to be a gaping hole for this team at the hot corner. We already know they're down Corey Kluber. Now Jose Ramirez. This one's going to sting, I believe, the Indians as we get deeper into the season and into the postseason.
And you can start seeing Minnesota pull away a little bit. I do believe they're 3 games up in that department. I just don't think they're going to have enough, and they don't have really anything in that AAA position to bring up anybody to slot those guys. And when you start looking at injuries late in the year, you start going negative instead of positive. And there just isn't that major floodlight that's going to, you know, make that Cleveland Indian team get hot again. And I just think slowly and easily Minnesota's going to win that division.
If we jump back over to the National League, we'll talk about the Braves for a moment. They're only six games back of the Dodgers, and you look at the 20-game lead that the Dodgers have in the NL, and we know how great they've been throughout the entire season, but the Braves are playing good ball, and I take a look at who Atlanta has up and coming on their schedule. They get the Rockies today, and then after that, they have a very favorable couple of series. They get the Blue Jays and the White Sox, while the Dodgers have to go up against divisional opponents that have seen them all season long. Bill, is it a foregone conclusion that the Dodgers are the one seed coming out of the National League, or do you think the Braves can press them over the next, I don't know, 3 weeks?
I tell you what you just said right there, I never looked at what the Braves had coming up, but you can see how the schedule changes, and you can see some of the favorites and who needs to compete against some of the tough teams. Now, of course, the Dodgers in the NL West is running away with that division. Even though they play the Giants next weekend in a three-game series, the Giants have still a wild side to get into that wild card position. They went into Chicago, lost three, and then they come back and beat the Oakland A's, which is a very good team, two straight. So you just don't know what the heck's going on with the Giants, but you still have inner division play that the Dodgers have to go with against Arizona, and you say the Giants, and then maybe Colorado, and you take one out of three, start chipping away, and the next thing you know, Atlanta's going to have an equal record or a better record. I just think the schedule is favorable for the Braves, and if you keep that offense on the field, man, they just keep clubbing the ball, and there's different people every day in that lineup that's making a big success story for the Braves.
Yeah, I mean, once Atlanta gets past this set with, they got two sets with the Blue Jays. It'll bookend, but the White Sox in the middle. Then after that, they have a four-game set with the Nationals, a four-game set with the Phillies, again three with the Nationals and three with the Phillies, which is going to be extremely telling. But nonetheless, to get to that point at the beginning of September, I mean, they could win easily 6 of 7, take 6 of 7 from the Rockies, Blue Jays, and White Sox, and they're right there with the Dodgers.
And they are, and then, you know, you start looking at just what we talked about. The Dodgers with a huge lead, and they start getting easy. They start, you know, okay, it's a loss. Let's get the next one. Next thing you know, you lose 2 out of 3 like you did against the Yankees. You go into the next series, you win 2 out of 3, then you lose 2 out of 3. So they have to keep that momentum going, and, of course, Dave Roberts is going to keep that push going, but I just don't like teams that have that much of a cushion, and then when it comes down to the last couple weeks, they got to put the on switch on and flip it. The Braves have been playing great baseball. That division's been up and down the whole season. Now they have a little breathing room. But I tell you what, I like the Braves right now. I just think they have some excitement in that lineup.
They have some excitement. I thought they were a year ahead last year, and that thought has turned out to be factual because we're seeing down the stretch, this is a team full of young guys, but they're not playing as if they're young guys. And still, if I have to pay to watch a couple of players in the game, one of the top three players I want to watch, it's Ronald Acuna. This kid can do everything.
He sure can. He's electric, and I love when he gets on the bases. I do believe he's 30-30 now. Didn't he get his 30th
right
on base this week?
Yep.
And 30-30 for a young kid like that, and you just start looking at how the expectations are just going to keep growing on him as young age. And, you know, those are the kind of players that a lot of commentators are always talking about, one of the best in baseball. Is he going to be an elite player as he continues his career? I put a plus mark right there because he's not a cocky, arrogant young player. He's a very good, qualified player, and I just think he's just going to gel with that Brave team. Got a nice new contract extension, and when you start seeing guys like that get comfortable and they start relaxing, their talent comes out, and I tell you what, he's a five-star player in my mind.
Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher. Bill, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, sure. If you want to jump on our radio show, had a nice radio show. It's on podcast on KNBR, all podcast. We, Vita Blue and I, do a radio show every Saturday on KNBR radio here in San Francisco. And what we did is we put players that played on both sides of the bay. So we had Matt Williams, we had Mike Aldretti, had Billy North, and just had an exceptional interview with Barry Zito. He's coming out with a book called Curveball, and it's all about his life, the trials of up and the trials of down. And it's really, really a well-written book. It's coming out September 16th. But But if anybody wants to go listen to a couple good interviews, we had a real great one with Barry Zito. But other than that, I'm on Twitter at Lasky19. I tweet out a little bit here and there. Just really following the Giants, and the Rivercats looks like they're going to win their division. First time under the Giants organization, and they've been playing real good baseball in Sacramento, and it looks like Las Vegas Aviators will be the team they play in the first round. And that, of course, is the Oakland A's AAA affiliate. But good baseball in AAA still, and a lot of qualified big leaguers are one step away. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in September call-ups and most of Major League Baseball, because you got a lot of young talent in the minor leagues that are possibly going to get a shot in September. So it's a good time. And, again, always looking forward every Monday to talk to you, and let's see what happens this week in baseball.
Yeah, I can't wait for next Monday. The next time you join us on air, Bill, it's going to be September. Everybody really gets up for September when it comes to baseball.
Yep, I totally agree with that. But, again, thank you so much, and hopefully your listeners will continue to listen to us every Monday. And, again, we'll see what happens in baseball this week.
Can't wait. Thank you again, Bill.
All right.
We'll pause for just a moment, but more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Auto Forum Studios here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Let's close out this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. And we'll talk more Andrew Luck tomorrow. It'll be Football Tuesday, so I'm sure we'll spend the majority of the show talking about not only Luck, but also other players in the NFL that have walked away before the age of 30. I'm going to bring in Travis Anderson to help close out this edition of the show. And Travis, we had college football back over the weekend. Did you watch any?
I did. I watched Hawaii, Arizona, and some of that Miami, Florida game.
Yeah, it was great to have college football back. I'm going to say this, and again, I believe Dan Mullen's a top 10 coach in the country. I believe that Florida will get to a point to where they are a perennial top 10 team. I don't think they're there yet.
No, I don't think they're there yet either, but I'm with you. It's going to take some time, but right now, no.
A little bit overrated. You have that SEC stigma that kind of floats around. They're number 8 in the preseason poll. They won't be in the top 10 very long. Very fortunate to get out of that game with a victory. In fact, if you go back, the pass interference call in the end zone, I thought the referees did the right thing by taking the PI, by waving it off. But if they stick with that pass interference in the end zone, Miami wins this game.
Yeah, Miami's going to win. I'm with you. They waved it off. I thought it was the right call. So, yeah. But if it doesn't, Miami upsets Florida. And then, you know, like I said, you and I both say, I think Florida's overrated.
Pac-12 did not have a good weekend.
It's Arizona, the worst Power 5 conference, the Pac-12.
It is. It is the worst Power 5 conference. But Arizona goes on the road. They were 11-point favorites. I said on the show last week, they should not have been 11-point favorites. I didn't think they'd be able to stop Hawaii's offensive, their offensive momentum that they picked up. They put up 45 points. I know Arizona was tackled at the one-yard line. That's how that game came to an end. But still, with that being said, not a good look for the Pac-12. And I'm going to go back to what I said last week. The Utes, Washington, Oregon, they will struggle in the polls because of games like this. A Mountain West team topping a double-digit Pac-12 favor?
Doesn't help. Yeah,
no, it doesn't.
It doesn't help at all. And Arizona defensively is very poor.
Terrible.
So you can score on them. Arizona's going to score points, but you can score on them as well. But defensively, they're very poor, and Hawaii took advantage. Hawaii was returning, 18 starters on both sides of the ball?
Yeah.
So, 18. Yeah, it was easy. You and
most
I both,
of the Mountain West.
It was an easy, you know, if you're into that betting sort of thing, it was easy to, you know, bet on Hawaii.
No question. I thought that Hawaii would, I didn't think they would win the game, but I definitely thought they would be within 11 points. Out of time on this edition of the show. Before we end, though, Travis, I want to move over to a prediction that Lee Corso made over the weekend, in which he said the University of Utah would take on Alabama in the national championship. Your thoughts?
I give that 0% happening. Zero. None. They're not even. Utah's not going to make the playoff.
I don't think they get in the playoffs. I think it's a good Utah team, and I think they could win the Pac-12.
They could
win the Pac-12. At least,
but I don't think
that
they're winning Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
I do not think that they're going to win Thursday.
Yeah, they're going to beat BYU.
I will take BYU. I'm saying it right now. I'm going to take the Cougs to beat Utah.
I think they beat BYU. I think they may win the Pac-12. But here's the thing, and it's going back to what you just mentioned. the Pac-12 is the weakest of all Power 5 conferences.
Yes,
so even if Utah was to win the Pac-12, there's no guarantee they get in.
One lost teams from the SEC, Big 10, Big 12.
One lost Notre Dame,
Yeah.
would get in. So, it just doesn't seem feasible. U fans, I'm not trying to burst anyone's bubble. Look, it's an exciting time for Utah football. This is the best Utah Ute football team, I believe, at least on paper, that they have had since joining the Pac-12. I don't think they're better than Washington. I don't think they're better than Oregon. And I believe they win the South. I know I'm probably a little bit more high on USC than you are, being an SC homer that you are. I still think the Trojans are going to be pretty decent this year. I'm not saying Utah won't win the Pac-12 South. I'm saying they will not advance to the national championship. I it's as close to a guarantee as I can get. I don't see that happening. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm fine with it. I'd be happily wrong for the Utes to get to that point. I don't see it happening. You think they're done on Thursday, huh?
I think BYU wins Thursday. I'm taking BYU. Eventually, the streak has to end. Eight straight wins for Utah over BYU. BYU is eventually going to have to end that streak, and I think it happens in Provo on Thursday night.
BYU. Home game, open up the season. Yeah, you've had a few months to prepare for the Utes. We'll talk more about this game a little bit later on in the week as well. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Thank you to Coach Brett Johnson, and also thank you to Bill Lasky. We're going to be live at the Auto Farm Ford location tomorrow for Football Tuesday. Have a terrific evening. Be safe. We are out.